Let us begin the service by singing number 57. The earth and all the fullness which is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. Number 57. First, we read to you the 12 articles of faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. This far. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the prophet Isaiah, the 19th chapter. And we commence with verse 11. Isaiah 19. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become Brutus. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of an ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has proposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of North are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribe thereof. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head of or tail, brands or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts, one shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be an highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptians unto Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be deferred with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy that we have still a name and a place at thy footstool, where we are Still in the land of living and in the day of salvation, and that great privilege to come also in this evening under thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Some family is not here on account of their bereavement and sorrow in taking away their dear husband and father and brother. Another family is called to the hospital, looking there to that dear mother, where they also expected soon the end. We have seen her in the circumstances. Oh Lord, remember in mercy and in compassion. Prepare for that great and ever-ending eternity. And that hour and the day of death also for that widow, that it shall be not a day of terror, but a day of joy and of gladness. We are all travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. We all have our turn. There is not one that shall escape his soul from the grave. We are all on the list. And we know it, but to bring it in practice, that is something else. And it is only the Lord that can bind the seriousness of death and eternity upon our heart. But only the Lord can give unto us grace to live and grace to die. And what is necessary, we hope to hear it in this evening by renewal out of thy holy word. Lord, come in our midst and in our heart with that ever-blessed Spirit. It is only that Spirit that leads into all the truth. But it is also that Spirit who applies to the hearts of his people, and that it be a power of thee unto salvation, and a lamp for our feet, and a light upon our path. Have mercy with the whole congregation. Remember young and old, great and small. Leave us not over to the foolishness of our heart, but look upon us from on high, and grant unto us what we stand in need of also in speaking thy word and expounding thy eternal testimony. Give in this evening by renewal a little freedom and liberty. The Holy Spirit who can lead us in that sanctuary of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Supply the needs and the wants of all those that are in the different hospitals. Also for that mother that entered in this afternoon in the hospital to have an operation the day of tomorrow. Lord, remember her. Strengthen her in the day of tomorrow. And that it may please thee to give her back to her dear husband and children. And that all the trials be sanctified to their hearts. Those that are sick in their homes and have no opportunity to come and to gather with us round about thy word, remember them, visit them. Thou art not bound to place or time or persons. Thou art an omnipresent God and an all-knowing God. Remember us together After the greatness and the multitude of thy mercy and of thy grace in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and that our gathering in this evening in this place of worship, that it was not a burden unto us, but that it was to the rejoicing of our heart, and that we may receive an undeserved and necessarily blessing, a blessing which shall remain with us forever and forever. Look upon all the widows, orphans and widows, and all those that in bereavement and sorrow. Strengthen that family also in the day of tomorrow. And remember all of us that our life be in preparation for eternity. Set thy house in order, you shall surely die and not live. And that we find a place in the ark of safety, that we are brought in as a dove, where Noah had done that once, stretching out his hand, and that is necessary for each and every one. Remember the government and all those that rule over us, also in our city. With all that goes on in the last days, an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Lord, show that thou art God. Break it up. Through what way that it shall take place, that we can mend it in thy hand. But spare our city, that we soon not go up in flame and fire as Sodom and Gomorrah. Have mercy with us. Bring thy people on their knees, and that they bring all those things before thee, and that thou wilt answer to the honor of thy name and to the gladness of our heart. Remember the families with the children in the serious times in which we are living, and under all the temptations, Lord, that thy word have power in our heart, and that it be a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path, that the fear of the Lord may fill our heart, and that it may please thee to look upon us in this hour with a pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 289. We commence with the fourth stanza, 289. The Lord our God is God alone. All lands his judgments know. His promise he remembers still, while generations go. Number 289. And we commence with the fourth stanza. Thank you. this evening, I ask your attention for a while for the Lord's Day 37. May we then swear religiously by the name of God. Yes, either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbors. For such an oath is founded on God's word and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will hear witness to the truth, bear witness to the truth, and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Thus far. Beloved congregation, last Sunday morning we say something about the subject of swearing an oath. We have heard at that time that our fathers, especially, had given us two Lord's days in regard to cursing the Lord and falsely swearing, because they have a strife with the Roman Church. That church taught nothing about making an oath. They make no concern about that. And we have also heard about the Anabaptist that they were entirely against making an oath also before the magistrates, before the government. And in the third place, we have said some words also about the denying of an oath, as that takes place also in our days by the atheist, by that people that denied to believe that there is a God. There are no some things left out of the catechism that I would consider with you this evening, because it is so necessary that we are instructed out of the catechism. We need that. There are some things this evening that I will talk about. In the first place, that swearing an oath, as you find that in the last part of this answer, that it is used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. That is one thing. And then the second thing that I will consider with you is that the service of God, service of the Lord, that in several places in the Bible, that it is also compared by making an oath. I hope to explain it in such a manner that it is easy for you to follow it and to understand it. In the first place, our catechism said here that an oath religiously is founded on God's word and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. When you search the scriptures, congregation, and you will write down the text where you find the examples of God-fearing people that have made an oath, then you will really be astonished. In the first place, the Lord himself, he had done it in Genesis 15 towards Abraham, when he revealed and made with him the covenant of grace. Then the Lord was swearing to that Abraham to give him the assurance that that covenant that he had revealed and that he made with them, that was sure. Because in the life of God's people, there is so much strife time and again. And now, where the Lord was swearing to Abraham that he made an oath that was for him a guarantee that that covenant from the side of the Lord never would be broken. Abraham, he had also made an oath. He was also swearing first to the king of Sodom that he would not take anything from them, for that cause and for that reason that the king later on would say, I made Abraham rich. Abraham, he made also a covenant with the king of Gerar, Abimelech, that he swore them, the king, that he would do nothing against him and his house and his country. Then you read also in the Bible, in the life of Abraham, that he commanded his servant Eliezer to to lay his hand in his hip and to swear them by the Lord that he would seek a wife for Isaac, a wife that was original brought up in the true religion. You read also of Jacob that he made an oath in regard to his father-in-law Laban. That they would not do any evil towards one another. Because their condition in those days, you know, out of the word of God, that was very dangerous. And then you read about Moses, the man of God. He made also an oath in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Then he spoke to the people of Israel that they have to swear unto the Lord as an acknowledging that the Lord was God and the God of the covenant. Then when the time came that Moses was 120 years old, and that he came to the end of his service as the leader of the people of Israel, then he said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to regard this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In the life of David, there you find time and again that he made an oath. You know the history of David and his dear friend Jonathan. They have done it several times to one another. In the dangerous times in which they were living, it was for David, and it was also for Jonathan. It was a gladness for their heart that they were calling upon the name of the Lord. And it was not only for this temporal life, but it was also for the life to come, that even death would no make any separation between David and Jonathan, because there was a time that they would no more see one another's face. And then you read also in the word of God that Paul, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 23, and in Romans 1 verse 9, that also he made an oath before the congregation in his writing to them, that he had preached the gospel as it was in Christ Jesus. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing before Caiaphas, he made also an oath. Because when he said to that high priest, "You have said it," that was the same as making an oath. The Lord himself, congregation, he made many times an oath in his holy word in regard to his son Jesus Christ, but also in regard to men and to his people. In Psalm 89 verse 4, then the Lord declared that he has sworn by his servant David. Of course, that servant David, that refers there, as we all know, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the seed of that Christ shall be established forever and forever. And that his throne also shall be established. In Psalm 110, then you read so clear also about that oath that the Father made, where it is, "The Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And the Lord has sworn and will not repent, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." But now also an oath in regard to men. You find that by the prophet Ezekiel in the 33rd chapter, verse 11. "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" And that now the Lord made an oath, declaring that he had no desire in the death of a sinner. That is something, congregation, that come back in the day of judgment. If it never come back between our cradle and our grave. And we have in our life, personally, we have so many evidences that the Lord had no desire in the death of a sinner. You think about all the warnings, about all the admonitions. You think about the long suffering of the Lord in our life. Because if we come to ourselves, then we have to say, "Lord, what a wonder that I am here at this side of the grave." Once, sitting by a deathbed, and it was a deathbed of a converted man, And that man, he said with tears in his eyes to me, he said, I have sinned so much in my life. And sinned with open eyes that I know that I was sinning. I know better, but I go over it. And so it is with men, the same thing, people. There is people, of course, that was in the days of Christ the same thing. They were so righteous in their own eyes. You think about Pharisees and scribes. You think also about that rich young man. And in our days there are many of them, many. They hate it. When you talk about the fall of Adam and the results of the fall of Adam, because they are so much better than that they hear about other people. But Christ, he said to that Jewish people in the days when he was here in this world, if your righteousness be more abundant than of the Pharisees and the scribes, you shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven. If the Lord make us honest people, honest, then it is a wonder that we are here at this side of the grave. And then there shall be times and moments in our life that we say, Lord, Lord, but a wonder that I am still at this side of the grave. The Lord had no desire in the death of a sinner. Every sermon that we hear, that is an opportunity to be converted. Really. It comes all back in the hour of death and in the day of judgment. And what a terrible thought, people, that there lay a life behind us in vain. That we have not spent our time in regard to the welfare of our never dying soul. There is people amongst us too. I know that. And that is not strange, no. Because all that we hear in the world, all that we hear in the world, we cannot find back in our own heart. Not every man shall say what is living in his heart. No. We keep quiet about so many things, and that is really a blessing that it not all come out what there is living by nature in our heart, people. And this afternoon we were singing by the beginning of the service out of Psalm 141. To the suffering of Christ this afternoon. And then David, he said, has set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. There is people that say or that think, what can I do? I can do nothing. Here in our sermons, not only that man is dead in trespasses and sins, but that we are totally dead. There's no difference. That is a difference, people. In the sermons in general, in our days, that is denied. The total depravity of men. There are so many who are thinking that there is still something left in men. And of course, we have our rational mind. Keep that in your mind, no? And the Lord, he shall require from each and every one his image. After that we were created in paradise. The Lord shall require that from us. That is also something that they forget in our days. They talk about the gospel. The gospel. But we have to go back to paradise. There is the first responsibility of men. And that we are so wretched in ourselves that we cannot comfort ourselves. We can never blame the Lord for that. But the blame that is upon us. That is where the start is of all the wretchedness of men. And now the Lord moved in himself from all eternity. He had in Christ Jesus opened a way to escape the wrath of God. That way of salvation that is placed before us time and again. But the question that is all the time, what we are doing with it, where it brings us, a revealing of our enmity against the Lord, or that we become a guilty one under it, and that we say, Lord, I am the cause of all my wretchedness, and that I cannot comfort myself. And that is wonderful and remarkable. As soon as it pleased the Lord to start with a sinner in a saving way, but is immediately the result of it. Then the result that is, that we take all the guilt and sin upon ourselves. And from that time on, we do no more blame the Lord, but we justify the Lord. I can write it on a paper, on a piece of paper, to you. But all that people is saying to the Lord, when he come in the heart, I can write it on a paper. Even that you have never talked to me one word about it. And what would I write on that paper then? And if you would listen at the doors where the people is laying in that room, upstairs, or in the basement, or in a barn, where it is, then that people that shall confess in the first place that the Lord is right in all his ways, and that I am wrong.
they shall justify God and they shall condemn himself. And I know all those amongst me that have any knowledge, spiritual knowledge, they would say this evening, oh, I want that it is came back, that it is came back. But in tears that I shed, and I lay there in that inner chamber, confessing before the Most High God my guilt and my sin, but also pleading upon what the Lord has said in his holy word, that he had no desire in the death of a sinner, but dwell in the life and in the repentance. And I will tell you something else. In Ezekiel 16, verse 8, there you read, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, said the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. And then I shall only mention of one text for this evening, that is enough. And then by the prophet Isaiah, then you read in verse 9, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. And there are more texts that I can mention to you in this evening, but why shall I do it? It is enough, congregation. It is enough to give you this evening the evidences that the Lord knows the weakness of his people, that the Lord knows the strife of that people, that the Lord knows what goes on in their hearts, what there happens time and again. And now, to find the strength only in the Lord. Now the Lord is swearing to that people that he is the God of truth. And what he has spoken to his people, he shall fulfill it. He shall establish it. There is no reason that God's people shall have any doubt in regard to the Lord, but that they lean upon him, that they trust him, not only for the time, but especially for the great an ever-ending eternity, and to give the Lord all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Now I come to my second point, that the true religion is compared in the Bible by swearing an oath. But we sing before that. Number 221. Yea, they are kept from path of sin, who walk in God's appointed way. Thy precepts thou hast given us, that we should faithfully obey. 321, the second and the third stanza. Children, they are also making an oath in their life. When the Lord come in their hearts. I have read to you in part this evening of Isaiah 19. And in that chapter, you read there, in that day, in verse 18, in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Cain and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. But is now literally the language of Cain, literally. You know? Literally, that is the Hebrew language. The Hebrew. But spiritually, that is the language of heaven. And that is a language. You cannot learn that in Hope College and in Calvin College and in our school that we have in the Netherlands. No. There is no professor that can teach you that. That is a wonderful knowledge. And that is a knowledge over the length and over the breadth of the earth. If you would found in India, of in Asia, of in Russia, a converted woman or man, they speak all the same language. And they desire to hear that same language on the pulpit. And if they do not hear that, then they say no. They say no. In England, there was a man years ago, in the time of Philpott, that man, he could find it in old church. He was always sitting home.
He has tried so many times to find something that language of Cain. But he could not find it. Finally, the Lord comforted a man there, 45 years old. And after a little while, that man, they start to preach in a hall. And on account that his life was in the church, that is the life of God's people, cannot live without church. Sometimes they have to do it. And smite the help, he said, there shall come a time that the church can no more find it in the church. That's too bad. If the language of Canaan is spoken and preached, but after a little while that man was preaching there, then he went there, desiring to hear the language of Canaan. And really that man, he heard that language. The people that know that man, they ask his opinion. Whether that they could go to the church to that man. He said, go. I go too. And he said, I will tell you why that I go there. You know why? Because he said that minister, he goes with you inside. And that is what we need. The explaining of the Bible that is necessary. We have to spend our time to search the scriptures, please. But if it is nothing else than an explanation of the Bible, people, without practice, and without experimental knowledge, then it is the same as a plate with potatoes, with dry potatoes. What makes the potato so nice? Gravy. Right? Yeah. Gravy. I could not say something else would add to that, but oh yeah, I am at the pulpit, so I have to think about that too. Otherwise I go too far. But insight. That the riddles of the heart of their people be unriddled. And where the Lord now teaches us the language of Canaan, Lord be merciful to me, a sinner. There you have something of. Speak thou to my soul. I am thy salvation. The language of Cain. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. The language of Cain. And of that people that shall swear to the Lord of hosts. But what is now the meaning to swear? By the Lord of hosts, that means that they shall give their heart unto the Lord. But if we in our life give our heart to the Lord, then the Lord first had taken our heart from us. And then there is a willing people in the day of God's power. And by the prophet Isaiah in the 65th fifth chapter, there you read in verse 19 also. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying, as a result of what you read in verse 16, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. And then we have not another text in the Bible that is in Psalm 119, where David said, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. That is with the whole heart and with the whole soul. And all God's people that will give himself to the Lord, on account that he is worthy to be honored and worthy to be praised and worthy to be glorified. And then the last text that I will mention to you this evening, that is in Psalm 63. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And now the question, congregation, that is, do we know something of that right religion for our own heart? Was there now ever a time in our life that the Lord became worthy for us? That we saw so much majesty and glory and loveliness in the Lord, that would be say, this is now the desire of my heart, to serve the Lord and to walk in his ways. Even that there is no hell for punishment and no heaven as a reward, but the Lord is worthy. The Lord. And if that is in our heart, people, then we are on the right track to heaven. On the right track. Yeah, some people would say, if I could believe that. Can you never believe it? I come nog one step lower. Is there never a moment in your life that you say, I hope that it is in truth and uprightness that I fear the Lord? Do you have a time and times in your life that there was an opening and that you say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And not for heaven and not for hell, but because thou art worthy to be honored and be praised. And that is now the desire of my heart, O young and old. I hope that many amongst us, all of us, if it was possible, that we swear in that way and in that manner. The times are serious for our city too. For our city too, people. What last week have taken place on Plainfield, and what they will continue there, that this an abomination in the sight of the Lord. I think if our fathers and mothers who are in the grave now, body in the grave, soul in heaven, but if they could come back and they would hear what now have taken place, yeah, more things, more, it is not only that, but that is now what come public, in public. I think that people that had well a stroke, a heart attack, that they say, Grand Trappers, Grand Trappers, Grand Trappers. Young married people, young married people, be careful. The Lord, he killed the sons of Aaron. He killed the sons of Eli. The Lord, he killed two sons of Judah in his anger. Have respect for God's word and for God's testimony. Live not your own way, people. And set never your feet upon such evil ways that you can expect no blessing, well, the judgment of the Lord. And then the Lord is long-suffering, but oh, we must well fear, congregation, that soon that there happens something, that our ears shall ring of the judgments of the Lord that goes to the end of the world with rapid strikes. And what shall it be, people, if our life was not in accordance to God's word and testimony? What shall it be there? There is a God who lives and reigns forever. And he shall punish the iniquity to the third and fourth generation of those that hate him. That also the preaching of this evening and this Sabbath day be blessed to our soul and be sanctified to our heart. It is still the time to be converted, to seek the Lord, to bow before him, and to receive that grace that is necessary to live and to die in peace and with comfort. That the Lord give prayer for our children, prayer for our grandchildren, in the dangerous times and serious times in which we are living. We are not better of other people. No. We have the same heart. And it is only the fear of the Lord that can prevent us from sinning against him. And children of God, oh, that our hearts were burning as the men of Emmaus, to bind ourselves and to join with the Lord in truth and uprightness, and to lean upon him with all our needs and wants for the time and for eternity, that we trust in him And that the Lord give in our heart and in our soul his divine approval in that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Lord, bless thy word preached in this Sabbath day and read in this afternoon, that we meditate upon, and that it for us were the means to true conversion, but to enliven us and to strengthen thy children in the Lord Most High. Also for that old widow that was with us in this evening after so long a time that she could not come and gather with us. Remember her further, for time and for eternity. And where we will go again to the hospital, that we may see that mother not, if it can please thee in the land of living. Supply the needs and wants also for that father, who is always in such a serious condition. Remember his poor soul. Strengthen his dear wife and children. Look upon each and every one, all the sick and afflicted. Remember the missionaries and all the labors performed by those who are laboring there in hospitals and other places. Be with us in our school and teachers and children, also in the week that lays behind us. Remember the congregation with the offers bearers. Also where in the end of this week that we have to go to another place for the ministering of the Lord's Supper and baptism and merit some people. The labors are so many, thou knowest. But Lord, remember us, and that we remember one another at the throne of grace. Supply the needs and wants for each and every one. Forgive our sins, cover under thy wings, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 254. O come before the Lord our King, and in his presence let us sing. Number 254. pray today for Mr. Vanderwoud, who is at the present time in a very weak condition. For Mrs. Vanderhart, who shall be operated tomorrow in St. Mary's Hospital. And finally, it seems that Mrs. Tulloch lays before the gates of death. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.